brought to you by Penguin.
Feminisms by Lucy Delap, read by Tanya Rodriguez. Introduction. In January 1886, a woman in the British-ruled Gold Coast, now Ghana, took up a pen to write an incendiary letter to the Western Echo, a local newspaper founded the previous year. "We ladies of Africa in general are not only sadly misrepresented, but are made the football of every white seal that comes to our coast. We have been sadly abused by people of such description, and because we have said nothing, they continue to abuse us with impunity. Although we have not white or angelic faces, we are capable of as high a degree of culture as any white lady." The letter speaks eloquently of her feelings of being kicked around by European colonists, of lack of respect for her culture, and the abuse and impunity of colonial governance as it impacted upon women. The writer was not just angry, she also offered some satirical wordplay, terming white male power just ass, rather than justice. Her name does not survive, yet her willingness to speak for "we ladies of Africa" draws our attention to her imagined community of African womanhood. Her forthrightness and breadth of vision were helped by local factors, the long-standing African-owned press in the Gold Coast, as well as the global reach of the women's movements of her day. 1886 was a moment of intense colonial expansion. Some of the major European powers were annexing African and Asian territory at speed, giving rise to a violent world order in which racial hierarchies and norms of sexuality became more strongly policed, and which radicals, nationalists, and anti-colonialists would contest over the coming century. It was also a moment when women's education was flourishing throughout the globe. Their access to, or coercion into, paid employment was growing, and the spread of the bicycle was inaugurating new mobilities and anxieties that would be epitomised in the bloomer-wearing New Woman cyclist. It offers a way into a larger story of the profound transformations of how women thought about and inhabited their bodies and lives. Our story ranges both back and forward from 1886 to encompass 250 years of attempts to politicise the injustices of gender. All who challenge the wrongs faced by women have approached it in ways deeply shaped by their own historical moment. Their ability to name themselves as feminists, women, ladies, or sisters is always provisional. Their politics have been organised around divides of class, caste, ethnicity, religion, sexuality, nationality, and age. No naming of an individual as feminist can be taken for granted. Nor can we impose feminism as a label onto the activism of women and men who would not have recognised it or who actively rejected it. We can use feminism as an entry point to understand better how campaigns over women's rights, new womanhood, the awakening of women, or women's liberation might have shared concerns and tactics. But I will also be telling the story of the limits of feminism, its blind spots and silencings, its specificities and complicities, even the idea of women, or, as 19th century commentators often preferred, woman, has proved controversial. And gender, understood as the cultural and social organisation of biological sex, has only become a commonly used term in the late 20th century. This book traces out how feminists and activist women related to nationalism, religious doctrines, imperialism, utopianism.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?